Muhammad al-Mustafa, Muhammad is his messenger.
In the name of Allah, the glorified, the most merciful, we start with the name of Allah, the wise. His blessings be upon Muhammad, his last messenger.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salamu alaikum, dear Muslims and non-Muslims are interested in Muslim world and last religion, Islam. This is on the birthday of the great messenger of Allah Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household.
هذا محمد طه الممجد هذا حبيبي سر المجيب عليه صلي يا متجلي
الله الله يا رسول الله 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 يا رسول الله يا أيها المختار من خير
Congratulate you all on this occasion from the center of Shia Islamic Republic of Iran to all Muslims all around the world, Shia and Sunni brothers. You hear a special program, The Call of Unity. Speeches, voices of different nations, lectures, and other parts are formed here to be presented to you. We hope you use it. At the time Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born, there was in Mecca a Jew whose knowledge of the prophecy with all its sign exceeded those of his peers. Through his learning, he had discerned that the birth of expected prophet had been fulfilled and knew his arrival to be imminent. The baby was born. The infant was named Muhammad. When people asked why they had given him this name, they replied, to be praised in the heavens and the earth.
These are the days of Eid. Make takbir wherever you are. These are the days of Eid. Allahu Akbar.
Malcolm X, American civil rights activist, has interesting viewpoint about Islam. He said, I am a Muslim and my religion makes me be against all forms of racism. It keeps me from judging any man by the color of his skin. It teaches me to judge him by his deeds and his conscious behavior. And it teaches me to be for the rights of all human beings, but especially the Afro-American human being, because my religion is a natural religion. And the first law of a nature is self-preservation.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
So are you.
So are you.
I love Allah.
I love Allah.
Do you too. Do you too.
Muhammad's greatest miracle is the Holy Quran. The timeless eloquence and wisdom of Quran remains. His other miracle is his Ahlul Bayt or infallible household, who continue the tradition of Prophet in every age and era to symbols of unity. Now we're gonna listen to Hujjatul Islam Barati, the scholar of Islam, speaks about Muslim and Prophet.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. I want to congratulate all of brothers and sisters in Islam because of the birth anniversary of our glorious Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the best occasion for us. This is occasion of emergence of light for us, emergence of love for us, emergence of unity and brotherhood and solidarity for us. So I want to repeat all of my greetings and heartily greetings for you in this occasion. Brothers and sisters, we should be happy in this moment. Why not? Because the best bestowment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we receive it in this day. We are celebrating anniversary of this bestowment and gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Prophet Muhammad, without the seal of prophets, without the Lord of prophets, we were not unified. We were not inspired. We were not lightened. We didn't have light to find our way in the life. We didn't have dignity. We were divided. We were ignored and humiliated. So, birthday of Prophet Muhammad is birthday of glory and dignity and light for us. I want to greet you again for this opportunity and occasion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his glorious book, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم. All of the faithful people are like brothers and sisters to each other.
الحمد لله والشكر لله على ما هدانا
سبحان الله
الله الله الحمد لله.
Brothers and sisters in Islam, in Iman, in faith, they are like family members, and the closest members in family are brothers and sisters to each other, because they are in the same age, in the same level. They can understand each other very well. They can share with each other good and bad, pain, grief, happiness, and joy. They can share everything with each other. They don't feel any separation, any difference between themselves. So this is the condition and the position which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam plans for us to be in. So if we are a nation contains 1.5 billion, how big we are, how powerful we are, how much pride we feel. But if we are small groups, small countries, small tribes, nobody can pay us any respect. Nobody can count us in the present and contemporary geography and graphic of the world. So Prophet of Islam wants us to be unified, to have solidarity, to have integration with each other first, and be a powerful family, be a powerful nation, a powerful ummah, and a symbol and a model for other nations and other religion followers. So this is the best lesson we can learn from birthday of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he emerged, when he received the mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Arab Peninsula, in that time, 14 centuries ago, Arab Peninsula was a part of the map, but nobody considered it a part of the map. Nobody was even ready to occupy this peninsula, because no benefit, no interest was counted and assumed for the occupier, for the invader. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nobody respect you, nobody count you. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, before emergence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you were very low in lifestyle and conditions of life. But after emergence of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you became governors of the world. Why? The only reason is Prophet Muhammad and his religion and his Quran and his teachings. Arab before Muhammad and Arab after Muhammad. You study them, you compare them. All of the historians, all of the writers in history of civilization say that the only reason made Arabs governors and superpowers of the world was Islam. Why Islam made them this? Because Islam unified them. Islam gave them a kind of life by unity, by brotherhood. And we can call this day and this opportunity and this celebration, this occasion, we can call it occasion of unity, birthday of unity, unity for the whole mankind. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I am not prophet only for Arabs or for Iranians or people of the Middle East. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. O Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, we didn't send you but to be mercy for the whole mankind. You have only one mission, to be merciful for the whole mankind. And also, followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fellows of his religion, are like this. They carry love and mercy for the whole mankind, despite they are Muslims or non-Muslims or Jews or Christians or idol worshippers or pagans or atheists, any kind of religion and philosophy they follow. They are mankind and they are humans, and we love the humanity and the whole humankind because we are followers of Prophet, which is sent to the whole mankind, and mercy for the whole mankind, and not only mankind, even if there are some other intelligent beings, also Prophet of Islam is mercy for them, and we should be merciful for them. So we should be merciful to the environment, to the nature, to animals, to the whole world, including mankind. So I wish for you the best, and I wish that this is the day which will change the life of the humankind, including Muslim nation, and brings for them unity as an achievement.
These are the days of Eid. Make takbir wherever you are. These are the days of Eid. Allahu Akbar. These are the days of Eid. Sing together everyone. La ilaha illallah wa lillahi alhamd.
Hujjat al-Islam Bharati was speaking about Islamic world and Prophet's time. Imam Khomeini, blessing of Allah upon him, said, as long as you maintain your unity, God is with you. As Prophet said, God's hand is with the group. Congratulations on Prophet Muhammad's birthday. On the week of unity, you're hearing our voice from Iran.
Islam is not a religion of terror, rather it's a religion of peace. We shouldn't separate. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Muslims, you are in one group, you should unite, you should not separate.
I'm from the United States of America. My family, they're all Shias, and inshallah, the entire world will also see light the way, same way as I did, and believe in Islam.
Muslims and all the world, on my view, they should unite, they should cooperate with each other, because all Muslims, we are one ummah, one in everything.
Our Prophet is one. Our Quran is one. Our Kitab is one. So what are the problems?
We are Muslim around the country nowadays. We have to unite together because there's not anything conflict among us.
So the concept of unity is very, very crucial regarding Islam, especially in our society and community prevalent today.
Be one ummah. And to do this, we must band together. It doesn't matter which mazhab you're from, it doesn't matter which country you're from.
We should follow the teachings of Prophet Muhammad and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. So we see why the Prophet Muhammad unites with the cooperated with other people or with the other groups of Muslims.
صلى الله عليك يا ابن عبد الله محمد رسول.
Congratulate you all on this occasion from the center of Shia Islamic Republic of Iran to all Muslims all around the world, Shia and Sunni brothers.
صلى الله عليك يا ابن عبد الله محمد رسول الله.
Prophet Muhammad had a simple life and gave to society a practical demonstration of the revealed laws of God. according to his dearest cousin and son-in-law, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, although all prophets of God had excellent qualities, Prophet Muhammad was gifted with the most perfect ethics. To the extent, he would say, I have been sent by Allah to complete best characteristics. Hujjat al-Islam Bharati, religious scholar, is gonna speak more about this subject.
Now we are approaching the birthday of glorious Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. This is one of the best celebrations and occasions for Muslims of the world, and even for the whole humankind and whole world, because Prophet of Islam is Prophet of mercy, Prophet of love, Prophet of peace, Prophet of brotherhood and guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, his glorious Quran, O faithful people, this is our Prophet coming to you. He is one of you. He is from you. It is very difficult for him to find you in misery and in problem. He is so eager to guide you, to help you, to support you. He is very kind to faithful people. He is merciful to faithful people. So this is Prophet of Islam. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam presents love for his enemies, for those who don't know him, those who don't believe in him, those who are ignoring him. Prophet Muhammad even loves them. Those who curse him, those who hate him, those who humiliate him because of ignorance. This is the behavior of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never cursed a person in his life. He never hated a person in his life. Even some people were torturing Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Mecca when he was starting his da'wah, his call, his propagation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were some Jews, they were torturing Prophet. Every day he was passing from the road, they threw on him dust and some waste things and so, to humiliate him, to torture him, to bother him. One day happened, a Prophet passed this way and didn't see this kind of behavior. So he asked about the person who was treating like this every day and why he didn't treat like this today. He told this was a Jew, but he is sick now. He is in bed. Because of that, he didn't come to follow his behavior. Prophet Muhammad told, okay, we want to pay him a visit, check him, and if he is in need, we help him, and we don't treat him like he treated us. So Prophet asked about the address of house of this person, and went to meet him. When he met him very kindly, with a very nice way, and told, no problem, O brother of religion, O brother of faith, because you are follower of another prophet of Allah, Prophet Moses, no problem, I forgive you for your treatment to me. Now I hear you are sick, I came to pay you a visit, and I am ready at your service. Anything you need, anything you want, please order me, please tell me, I will do for you and I will bring for you.
Habibi ya Muhammad, ya sadiqan bil wa'di, ya Ahmad, ya mu'ayyad, min al-fard al-samadi.
This person was so much ashamed and asked Prophet to forgive him and told, I want to convert to your religion. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So he was converted to Islam in last moments of his life. So this is a lesson of our Prophet in the birthday, in the Milad, in the Mawlid, and in this Unity Week for all Muslims, especially Muslims who are minorities in their countries and they are under pressure of the population, the society, the government, even if they are facing mistreatment and persecution and torture, they face it back with good behavior and with kindness and goodwill for the society and for the country, to show them that Muslims are always good citizens everywhere they are. Especially in non-Muslim countries, they are helpful, they are useful, they are positive, they do help the country, and they forget and forgive about the tortures and mistreatments and discriminations against them, because they want to follow their Prophet, Prophet of Mercy and Prophet of Love and Light, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By these sentences, we come to the end of this program, Call of Unity, and wish for you a very light and clear unity in Islam and Iman, and even unity for the whole mankind and the whole family of man in this world. This is the wish that Muslims have for everybody, and because of that, they say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Means peace be upon you. And even the ignorant people, non-Muslim people, when they mistreat them, they face them by this sentence, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When they are facing ignorant people, they reply to them, Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. So we wish the peace and unity and brotherhood for the whole world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the last part of Mr. Barati's speech about Islam and unity among Muslims. Let's listen to Imam Khomeini's speech about unity of Muslim nation. Muslims should be awake. Muslims should be alert that if a dispute takes place among Sunni and Shia brothers, it is harmful for all of us. It is harmful for all Muslims. Those who want to sow discord are neither Sunni nor Shia. They are agents of the superpowers and work for them. Those who attempt to cause discord among our Sunni and Shia brothers are people who conspire for the enemies of Islam and want the enemies of Islam to triumph over Muslims. I hope that through considering this Islamic precept that all Muslims are brothers, all Islamic countries will triumph against the superpowers and succeed in actualizing all Islamic ordinances. Muslims are brothers and will not be segregated by the propaganda sponsored by corrupt elements. The source of this matter, that Shia should be on one side and Sunni on the other, is on the one hand ignorance and on the other hand propaganda of the foreigners. If Islamic Brotherhood comes to the fore among the Muslim countries, such will become a great power which none of the global power will be able to cope with. Shiites and Sunnis brothers should avoid every kind of dispute. Today, discord among us will only benefit those who follow neither Shia nor Hanafi. They neither want this nor that to exist, and know the way to sow dispute between you and us. We must pay attention that we are all Muslims and we all believe in the Quran. We all believe in Tawheed and must work to serve the Quran and Tawheed.
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله
محمد رسول الله
محمد رسول الله
That's the first principle
That's the first principle
Now do you know
Now do you know
We as Muslim Ummah have such a great treasure Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him and Quran Ahlul Bayt also Ramadan Hajj and other nice valuable things It's time to be united. It's time to learn tolerance towards other points of view. It's time to lean, criticize without hurting, and avoid taking a strong position on smaller points. And heed the advice found in chapter Hujurat. This 49th chapter of the Quran provides excellent guidance on the kind of behavior that Muslims should avoid to establish Muslim unity. And finally, make sure that you as an individual are not only working for unity but making dua, supplication, saying prayer for it as well, since results are all in Allah's hand. Dear listeners, that was the final part of the Call of Unity you've heard. Again, my colleagues and I congratulate all of you on birthday of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet of Mercy, peace be upon him and his progeny.
Peace be upon Rasulullah, peace be upon Habibullah, peace be upon Muhammad, peace be upon Shafi'ullah, peace be upon Khair Khalqillah, peace be upon Muhammad, last of the
I ask Allah to guide us to what is acceptable, enable us to be always steadfast on the path of the Prophet, and to be always protectors and defenders of the creed that Prophet brought to the people. I ask Allah for all of us to be wise and active in propagation the true message of Islam to the people. And Allah knows best. Allah Almighty bless you all. Goodbye.
If you ask me, why do I love you? No matter where you are, we are the greatest ummah with the beating of our hearts. We are Muslims. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no God but Allah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad al-Mustafa. Muhammad is his messenger.
Around the world with reporters.
Starting on Tuesday, November 3rd, there will be a second lockdown in Austria to contain a massive second wave of COVID-19 infections across Europe. All events will be cancelled. Hotels, restaurants and bars will close, and a curfew will be in place between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. Universities and classes for older students will switch to distance learning. Chancellor Sebastian Kurz told The Nation, "We will have to do without a lot of what makes up our lives."
If the number of new infections continues to grow so rapidly, Austria's healthcare system, although it's one of the best in the world, will soon be out of capacity.
The country's health minister says Austria is in a race against time.
The turnaround must be achieved by mid-November, otherwise doctors will have to choose who to treat via triage. If we act now, we can gradually begin reopening at the beginning of December.
Health authorities are worried about the repercussions of an explosion of infections in October. On Saturday, more than 5,300 new infections were reported across the country, five times more than just 2 weeks ago. As a tourist and sport nation, Austria is affected particularly hard by the restrictions. The government has announced that affected businesses will get 80% of their revenue from the same month last year reimbursed if they keep all their employees on the payroll. Anyone not following the new rules could face fines reaching up to 1,500 euros. The question that everyone wants an answer for is when all this will end. The definitive end of all measures will only be possible when there's an effective vaccine, experts say. Austria's chancellor told the people he's confident they can have a normal summer again in 2021. Homa Leski, Vienna.
The United States separating of Iran from the global financial system has hindered the Islamic Republic's ability to secure supplies of food and drugs, as it struggled to rein in a resurgence of the coronavirus outbreak. The U.S. Treasury has time and again claimed that these items are exempted from the sanctions on the Islamic Republic. To delve into the issue, we talked to some MPs to see how Washington's targeting of over a dozen of banks has paralyzed import of drugs.
This is not true. Food and drugs have not been accepted from sanctions. In cases, the Islamic Republic has faced very cruel sanctions in its food and medicine sector. The United States has imposed unlawful sanctions on medical needs of those suffering from rare diseases. They are limiting Iran's access to raw materials to stir up anger among people.
One of the fields in which they are putting pressure on the Iranian nation is the pharmaceutical sector. Medicines are not used in military or nuclear sphere. The sick people need the drugs, but Washington has restricted the import of tablets and injection shots. This reveals their enmity with the Iranian people. I think our people are paying the price of standing on their own feet.
Drug and medical supply companies in Iran are now saying that the new sanctions have affected their work. Iran makes many of its needed drugs inside the country through pharmaceutical research, but treatments for cancer or rare diseases and transplants often rely on imports.
We must expand our knowledge. We must be aware that Iran will always be under sanctions by the Zionists and the U.S. Day by day, these sanctions will be expanded, so we need to have the knowledge to meet our needs by producing medicines domestically.
Iranians' access to medicine and their right to health is being threatened and may worsen if the situation does not change.
After sanctioning 18 Iranian banks as part of its maximum pressure policy, in its latest move, the U.S. government sanctioned Iran's oil minister, oil industry, and related companies. Humam Abedi, Tehran.
Afghans are marking the arrival of the birthday anniversary of the Prophet Muhammad under the name of Unity Week, at a time when Islamophobia is growing in some parts of the world and amid French President Emmanuel Macron's recent insulting comments about the Holy Prophet of Islam, people in Afghanistan are attending ceremonies like this one in Kabul as a show of respect and love for the Prophet of over 2 billion Muslims.
I'm here to show my strong support and deep love for the beloved Holy Prophet. Fortunately, we can attend different ceremonies that deepen our understanding of Islam.
We don't care about insulting words of individuals like Macron. This is especially because our leader, the Holy Prophet, has ordered us to be logically patient. Instead, we mark Unity Week to show how the followers of Islam's Holy Prophet ignore tensions and approve unity.
Based on Islamic beliefs, the arrival of Unity Week, as its title suggests, serves as a big opportunity for Muslims to once again return to the main teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, such as strengthening unity among Muslims. Some others believe that the arrival of the birthday anniversary of Islam's Holy Prophet is also an opportunity for mankind to review the life and words of the Prophet Muhammad to see the real face of Islam.
Unity Week, in fact, brings unity among nations and Islamic societies like Afghanistan. I'm proudly saying it that Afghanistan is one of the leading countries of the Muslim world when it comes to the issue of Islamic brotherhood.
I call on your audience to please study the true life and words of Islam's Holy Prophet. Yes, this is too important for anybody who is seeking truth about Islam and its honorable and holy leader, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Besides calling for boosting Islamic brotherhood among Afghans, those attending ceremonies marking Unity Week say the cementing of national unity among Afghans is one of the musts associated with Unity Week, as observers say the best way to lead the nation to a real national unity is to remove the obstacles on the way of the ongoing peace talks between the government and Taliban in the Qatari capital Doha. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
A shutdown is being observed in Indian-controlled Kashmir after New Delhi amended and repealed a series of decades-old land laws of Kashmir. The
The new reorganization law issued on October 26, 2020, opens up all of Jammu and Kashmir to every Indian citizen and removes every restriction that prevented large land holdings, allows the Indian Armed Forces to take over land wherever they desire, and gives sweeping powers to the government to take over any land and property for industrial use and bring in big businesses to set up their shops. People's Democratic Party President Mehbooba Mufti, while criticizing the government's move, accused India of land grab for big investors. The October 26, 2020 order repealed 13 state laws and amends 14 laws. Experts say this is to further the agenda behind the abrogation. According to historic date check, these laws were introduced to empower the majority Muslims who were suffering immensely under the non-Muslim rulers. Not only this, but the rights to buy and sell land in Kashmir were also confined to the people of Kashmir. Experts say India's move in Kashmir since August 5, 2019 has further internationalized this conflict. In response to the shutdown call by pro-freedom camp of Kashmir, shops and businesses remained closed. Huge number of government forces were seen guarding the streets to avoid law and order problems. Almost seven decades ago, these laws were introduced to empower the Muslim majority of Kashmir. But today, when the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party is repealing and amending the same laws, the people of Kashmir are watching over helplessly. Experts say this move clearly depicts India's intentions in Kashmir. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
The U.S. economy just recorded its largest quarter of economic growth ever, 33%. Too bad it comes on the heels of a 31% plunge in the last economic quarter. The seven-month-long failure to pass a second stimulus package pushed stocks to their worst week in 7 months. The U.S. appears to have been taken by surprise by the long-expected autumn wave of coronavirus, with new lockdowns creating major anger among the businesses who weren't bankrupted by the spring lockdowns.
The small manufacturing businesses, even small service businesses, we need to assume their expenses so that when we're on the other side of the pandemic, they're still viable. There isn't a will to do that, and I think that's because the government's really controlled by the major corporations and major banks, and they don't want it.
Pro-Trump media coverage is dominated by the ever-ballooning allegations of major financial corruption by the Biden family. Joe Biden has never disputed the authenticity of the proof which alleges corruption, but he has denied the allegations of corruption. Anti-Trump media is focused on widespread fears of post-election violence.
I tend to think we're going to get through the election okay, you know? But there are enough crazy people out there, and it's been promoted. That type of hatred has been promoted, by Trump. It's been promoted by television stations.
Right-wing media says the polls show that Donald Trump might lose the general election but will handily win the Electoral College vote. Their claim is based around the so-called shy voter theory that Trump supporters aren't talking honestly to polling agencies. Centrist media says the majority of polls maintain a small but narrowing lead for the challenger, Joe Biden. They say Biden will win handily when the record number of mail-in ballots are totally counted, which could take many weeks. Add all that up and throw in a few more vital issues which we don't have the space to list, and it's clear that America is heading into a historic election in a hugely chaotic state marked by fear, uncertainty, and hysteria. The vote is on Tuesday, November 3rd. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
More protests were held in the Italian capital on Saturday over the government's decision to impose tougher measures to contain the spread of the pandemic. Early in the afternoon, hundreds of far-right demonstrators staged a rally in Campo di Fiori against a new decree which has ordered the closure of gyms, cinemas and theatres, requiring cafes and restaurants to close their doors at 6 p.m. Clashes with police were recorded during the demonstration. Later on Saturday, another protest was held in Independence Square, not far from Rome's central train station, where thousands of protesters vented their anger at the latest anti-COVID-19 restrictions. This demonstration, dubbed You Close Us, You Pay, was called by a coalition of social movements and base unions.
Unfortunately, the government has done nothing to reduce the flow of travelers on local public transports, which have been turned into hotbeds of COVID-19 transmission. Furthermore, too many workers have not received any payroll subsidies from the government yet. How can they pay their bills and mortgage installments?
The government cannot close cafes and restaurants at 6 p.m. Owners can scrape by, maybe. But what about us workers? These restrictions are killing us.
From north to south, Italy's been hit by a wave of protests, some violent, following the introduction of more stringent coronavirus shutdown measures by the government. The country's interior ministry has warned that these demonstrations have been infiltrated by subversives who are trying to stir up trouble.
As the contagion curve continues to rise in Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte insists he doesn't want to enforce another lockdown, but many fear a new national quarantine is becoming inevitable.
So many people have already closed like their activity after the first lockdown. Some managed to survive, but they won't survive a second lockdown.
The government is expected to present a decree including new restrictions as early as Monday. Targeted lockdowns and restrictions of movement between regions are among the new measures reportedly being discussed. Max Civili, Rome.
Violent clashes in Pakistan in capital Islamabad. Police use heavy shelling to prevent thousands of angry protesters to march towards the French embassy in the capital. Protesters reached near the red zone after they forcibly removed heavy security barriers one after the other on the road leading towards the diplomatic enclave. At the heart of public anger is frequent incidents of blasphemy committed against the Prophet of Islam. Many protesters were injured in the violent clashes with the police. Over a dozen were also arrested.
This is just tip of the iceberg of a public anger against France. Protesters are saying that they are not going to settle down anything short of shutting down French embassy and expelling French ambassador from Islamabad.
French newspapers have repeatedly published blasphemous cartoons under the cover of freedom of speech. However, for Muslims in Pakistan and elsewhere, it was a politically motivated attempt to insult Islam, which, according to a Pew survey, is spreading across Europe. The official patronage to the blasphemers by the French government have added fuel to fire in Pakistan, like elsewhere in the Muslim world.
If someone speaks against the dignity and honor of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, then we will say, my mother, my father, my children, each and every one of them, I am ready to sacrifice them on the dignity and honor of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we are not going to tolerate it anymore, until and unless the ambassador of France would have been kicked out from Pakistan, we will be here, inshallah ta'ala.
When you abuse of Prophet, when you insult him, nauzubillah, and when you keep doing it again and again, and we'll definitely respond. Everybody in this world will respond if you keep hurting their sentiments.
In retaliation to controversial remarks of French president against Islam, protesters insulted his images. Anti-France sentiments have surged suddenly at an unprecedented level after repeated incidents of blasphemy of Islam. Similar protests were also held across Pakistan. Like elsewhere in the Muslim world, people have started boycotting French products in Pakistan. Prime Minister Imran Khan says that France under President Macron is encouraging Islamophobia, which is creating further polarization and marginalization of Muslims in the West, that he believes would inevitably lead towards radicalization in the world. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Out.
outside the French embassy in London, angered British Muslims gathered to vent their frustrations. The protest comes amid rising violence in France over the ongoing debate of freedom of speech versus freedom to insult.
This is just one of the many protests taking place across the Muslim world. Muslims are indeed angry over what they say is deep insult by Western society led by France against Islam and its holiest figures. France claims that it's defending freedom of speech, but Muslims say that they feel indiscriminately persecuted in France and are targeted relentlessly by Western political leaders and by media sources too.
The focus of the anger was squarely pointed on the French president for his passionate defense of anti-Islam insults.
First and foremost, he needs to apologize and he needs to make a law that freedom of speech should have some limits. This is not freedom of speech. If I come and say to your father, if I started swearing at him, do you think that is freedom of speech? That's not. In the whole world, there are 1.7 billion Muslims. They will be ready to sacrifice their life in the name of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That the message should be very clear.
However, protesters also made clear why defending the Prophet is so important.
It insults us, it insults the entire Ummah, the entire 1.7, if not more, billion people around the globe, because our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is closer to our hearts. He is more dear to us than the entire world, our family, our parents, children, whoever it may be. Anyone in this world does not compare to our Prophet beloved Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Not only is it just disrespectful, it's just the mere fact that I wouldn't do that to anyone else in religion, or mock it in any kind of form, or like, let alone do such an outrageous move, especially if you're in such a position of power. It's not only just disrespectful, it makes me feel quite hurt.
And the fact they disrespected us while doing nothing, this is really disrespectful. And that's why we're here. We're here to prove that we're here for our Prophet. Because without our Prophet, we're nothing. We wouldn't be Muslims. And I'm very proud to be Muslim. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet means everything. And the Prophet must mean everything. Because I adore him more than my mom, my dad, my siblings, everyone that I'd love. Because he is the reason that I'm Muslim. He is the reason that I'm going to go to Jannah, heaven. He is everything to me.
Muslim resentment against France is still growing. Will Macron finally back down or choose to stand by his anti-Islam policies? The answer for now still remains unclear. Robert Carter, London.
Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah strongly denounced the latest crime committed in France while stressing that Islam prohibits the killing of the innocent. He said all Muslims agree on glorifying and defending the dignity of Prophet Muhammad, yet they reject blaming every individual crime on Islam.
It's wrong for France or any other side to put the blame for a crime committed by a specific person on a person's religion, or to put the blame on the followers of the same religion of the person who committed the crime. If the criminal is a Muslim, no one has the right to put the blame on Islam, or to put the blame on Muslims, whether in France or anywhere else in the world.
Hezbollah's leader called on France to reevaluate their stances and policies to see where they are responsible for the current crimes.
There's a Takfiri terrorist ideology which endorses killing for mere differences in religion, ideology, politics, or disagreements on any detail, and they commit monstrous crimes. You protected this ideology, the Americans, the U.S. administration, the French officials, the European officials. You protected them. You gave them all your support. You facilitated their infiltration into Syria and Iraq. You helped fund and arm these groups until they had fighting capabilities. Now you're surprised that their groups have beheaded people?
Observers stress that it is the same policy that created Daesh that is now creating that hatred against Islam.
The West needs to see what they made. They made the groups that behead people and bomb churches and mosques, that kidnap and massacre people. They made them, and they are the ones moving them and giving them media coverage and conferences and funding them. And even before the creation of these terrorist groups like Daesh, the biggest terrorist act in human history committed by the West was establishing Israel in the region on the land of Palestine. That was the basis of all terror.
Lebanon has been one of the countries where anger is mounting over France's anti-Islam rhetoric. Protesters held a rally facing the residence of the French ambassador, denouncing the French president's defense of offensive caricatures of Prophet Muhammad.
Said Hassan Nasrallah said France and the West harbor the same Takfiri terrorism, which is committing crimes in Europe and all over the world. Said Nasrallah called on France to address the roots of the problem instead of making anti-Islam accusations. Mariam Saleh, Beirut.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Trump has neglected to mention that even with the historic third quarter rise in GDP, the U.S. economy remains in significantly worse shape than it was before the pandemic and has in recent weeks been trending in the wrong direction as coronavirus infection numbers soar across the nation, says Jake Johnson Ryder in an article published under the heading, As GDP data shows U.S. economy still in a deep hole, Trump denounced for trying to mislead the public by claiming an economic miracle. Stay tuned for the details of this article, please. As U.S. President Donald Trump on Thursday, October 29th, predictably wasted no time celebrating new figures showing a record-breaking GDP surge in the third quarter and working the data into his last-minute campaign pitch, analysts and lawmakers pushed back by placing the numbers into the broader context of an economy coming off the worst quarter in U.S. history and continuing to shed jobs at an unprecedented rate. Just after the Bureau of Economic Analysis released its anticipated report, estimating that the U.S. economy grew a record 7.4% during the three-month period ending in September, a 33.1% annualized growth rate, Trump fired off a tweet hailing the biggest and best GDP jump in the history of the country. Next year will be fantastic. However, sleepy Joe Biden and his proposed record-setting tax increase would kill it all, claimed the president, whose re-election campaign was already running Facebook ads on the GDP figures ahead of their official release. So glad this great GDP number came out before November 3rd. Trump neglected to mention that even with the historic third quarter rise in GDP, the U.S. economy remains in significantly worse shape than it was before the pandemic and has in recent weeks been trending in the wrong direction as coronavirus infection numbers soar across the U.S. This morning's GDP report reveals a $775 billion gap even after 33% annual growth rate, tweeted economist Jared Bernstein, a senior fellow at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. That's close to the worst gap of the last downturn and represents a loss of $6,000 per American household. It's also old news, representing growth earlier in the year. Dean Baker, senior economist at the Center for Economic and Policy Research, echoed Bernstein's assessment, writing in a blog post on Thursday morning, October 29th, that while the record growth in the third quarter is good to see, this is largely history at this point. The strongest parts of the picture represented pent-up demand and a bounce back from a shutdown economy in the second quarter, Baker pointed out. As we move into the fourth quarter, most of the factors that drove growth in the third quarter are no longer there. We have already seen most of the pent-up spending, and with the ending of the unemployment insurance supplements, tens of millions of unemployed workers will have far less to spend. Democratic members of Congress also weighed in on the new GDP data, denouncing Trump's portrayal of the numbers as a highly misleading and desperate effort to change the narrative on the economy in the final days of the 2020 presidential campaign. We are nowhere near making up for the historic loss in economic output that we suffered a few months ago, and to get there, we would need to see a number of that is at least 20 percentage points higher, Representative Don Beyer said in a statement. President Trump knows this. It is being widely reported. But he's trying to mislead the public by claiming an economic miracle. Americans can believe what he says, or they can believe their own eyes, Bayer added. Millions are unemployed. They know the economy is not booming. Almost one-third of adult Americans expect to lose their home to eviction or foreclosure, and almost one-third say they are having difficulty paying for usual household expenses. More than one-third say they are experiencing anxiety or depression. Those Americans are not fooled when the president says he has worked magic with the economy. The new GDP figures came as the Labor Department reported that an additional 1.1 million Americans filed for unemployment benefits last week, the 32nd consecutive week. Initial jobless claims were higher than the worst week of the Great Recession. Most states provide 26 weeks, about 6 months, of regular unemployment benefits, and this crisis has gone on much longer than that. Heidi Scherholz, senior economist at the Economy Policy Institute, wrote in a blog post on Thursday, October 29th. That means many workers are exhausting their regular state UI benefits. In a statement, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer slammed his Republican counterparts for blocking additional coronavirus relief even in the face of dire economic indicators and widespread suffering. Had Republicans joined us in supporting a second robust and bold relief package, the second half of 2020's recovery would be much stronger than it is anticipated to be, Schumer said, adding that the new GDP numbers mask the reality that 23 million Americans remain on unemployment and tens of thousands of small businesses have already gone under. Our nation still has a long way to go before we overcome this public health crisis and our economy fully recovers, added Schumer. Much more needs to be done.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.